in a few minutes.
Is open. We'll start today with a tax reform bill, Senate Bill 567. Open up a public hearing and work session, I'm sorry, on Senate Bill 567. Dr. Warner is here to update us on the amendment that's been worked on in the work group. And we can discuss.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, 567 has a dash 2 amendment to it. As you recall, this bill was, the dash 1 replaced the bill, and the dash 2 also replaces the bill, but it's very similar to the dash 1. The one change in the dash 2 is the calculation of the excess capital gains revenue. And the prior version, you would use the two most recent tax liability and the two most recent years prior to each odd year, and compared to the three preceding years. So you have the latest two against the three preceding that. This amendment changes it to two. So you've got the two most recent years compared to the two prior years. So if you're making the calculation, if the bill was in effect now, you'd be making the calculation in June of 2015. You would look at estimated personal income tax revenue from capital gains for 2013 and 2014 compared to estimated revenue from capital gains in 2011 and 2012. So it'd be 13-14 versus 11-12. The excess would then go be deposited in the Education Stability Fund. You can see we have a revenue impact for the dash twos. It would first take effect, first calculation would be in June of 2019. The general fund, this is the March forecast, general fund revenue would drop by about $2.2 million. The Education Stability Fund would pick up the $2.2 million. The calculation for 1921 is actually negative, where there's a dip in capital gains revenue out in the forecast. So there would be no distribution if that forecast held true. And then in 21-23, you would have a shift of about $78 million from the general fund to the Education Stability Fund. So remember, the Education Stability Fund goes to education in all forms, not just K-12, but it would be higher ed, community colleges, and so forth. So it's a general education fund. If that fund gets over 5% of general fund appropriations in the prior biennium, it goes into a capital school matching account. So, but this would be an additional revenue source. It would be a statutory revenue source so that the legislature could, with a majority vote, make a decision not to put the money in June. They'd have to vote on that, a majority vote. But once it goes into the fund, it's in a constitutional fund, which means that it takes a 3/5 vote to take it out of the fund. And so that's, of course, a hard 3/5 vote because it's constitutional. Mm-hmm. We do have a simulation in your OLIS. That's capital gains revenue history. And you can see, if you look, and I think I've got a hard copy for everybody there, might be easier. The numbers there in red would be, that's the basis for the revenue projection. And there's, you can see the 2.2 calculation. So if you're in 2019, you're taking the 2 years prior to that, and that third column is the 2-year average, so that's the 759.8, and you'd be comparing that with the 758.7, and because those are averages, you'd multiply it by 2. So that's where you get the 2.2. You can see that the next biennium in 2021, it would be the number would be 655 compared to 2 years earlier, 759.8, and that's where you get the big negative number there. So, and again, if you look, Dave, scroll down a little bit, remind you that, you know, the forecast itself is, Dave, if you could scroll up to some of the history, the forecast itself, of course, is much smoother than reality, as you've learned over time, I'm sure, as a policymaker. And basically, because you're going toward a trend in those projections, but this gives you some sense of the volatility in that series. Yeah. So there's going to be a number of biennium when you get big negative numbers in the calculation, like you got in 11, like you would have gotten in 09, for example. And those, of course, coincide with the biennium where you have a big shortfall. That last column is the shortfall in the forecast. So you can see in 09 it was about $1.3 billion, and 11 is about $1.1 billion. So during those times, you're going to have big negatives in that calculation. So the goal would be to have accumulated enough prior to one of those downturns where you'd have more money in the Education Stability Fund.
Right. And so what we talked about earlier were those capital gain windfalls, and your calculation of 2 years versus 2 years makes those windfall calculations a bit more precise to follow trends. So that's mm-hmm. why we're doing that instead of just mm-hmm. any capital gains over 30% standard deviation or something like that.
Yes, what that does is there is some growth over time of capital gains revenue, just as the economy grows and income grows. So you'd want something that adjusts the trend, some kind of moving average that would adjust it. 2 years, 3 years, I mean, those gives you that same idea. What you're trying to do is capture those periods when the most recent are out of line with the trend. That's when you would want to put those dollars in the reserve fund.
It's like a bonus from work that you don't spend. You put in the savings account. Senator Bertschinger?
No, it's fine. We'll see how well you can work with the House chairs.
Mr. Chair, we're in work session, aren't we?
We are in a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move the -2 amendments into SB 567 dated 5/1/15.
Senator Boquist moves the -2s into Senate Bill 567. Discussion? Seeing none, objection? Seeing none, so move.
Mr. Chair, I move SB 567 as amended by the -2 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that will speak to my motion.
Senator Boquist moves Senate Bill 567 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Senator Boquist.
Paul, would you go back to your revenue forecast and put it on the screen here? Can somebody put the revenue the revenue statement back up on the screen? In the revenue statement here, it was there. I'm assuming, Mr. Warner, if you look at the 2019 calculation out there, and on the paperwork we have, what we're really saying right there in layman terms is that we all know that there's a downturn coming. And frankly, in the revenue forecast, we're hoping the downturn is sometime in that window in 1921. Is that sort of correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Boquist, if you look at those numbers, the reason why they're so small and you tend to get zeros is because the forecast is really trend. Based on trend, and so in my experience, the largest errors you have in the forecast is not so much the growth rate, but from where you start. If you start from a peak, let's say a peak in capital gains revenue, and then put the trend in on that peak, and you're going to dip from that level, that's where you get the big errors. And the same is true when you're at a trough and you're starting to go up. You have trend from that trough, and you go up much faster. So you're going to see a lot more volatility than that. So the issue becomes, when does that next downturn occur? And as we've talked about in this committee, we're in an economic expansion that started in June of 09. So it's coming up on its sixth birthday, which puts it above the average for the post-World War II expansions. So we are getting to that point where a downturn is out there somewhere. We don't see any hard signs of it. And we're not going to project recessions just because it's time for one. But certainly you could, improved planning would suggest that within the next, there's a very strong, I would say much greater than a 50-50 chance we'll have a recession by the end of the 19 by
four Thank years you. From now. And Mr. Chair, my point here is, if we look back at the screen that we have now, is had we done this 4 or 6 years ago,
yep.
when that downturn comes, we would be in a much better position 2 years or 4 years from now.
the unfortunate thing that this committee has the responsibility of doing is trying to plan as the finance and revenue for these downturns, where some of our peer committees and even our peer members and even us at times want to spend everything we have. So this is a prudent step in developing a finance model for the state that is much smoother. Therefore, I will be supporting the bill.
Thank you. I could not agree more. This is a bill that will be imperceptible in the next 2 or 3 years, but it'll start showing a difference after that. Look where we would be if this bill would have passed 20 years ago or 10 years ago, or as you mentioned, even 4 years ago.
No.
Further discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, Senate Bill 567 moves to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a do pass recommendation. Senator Boquist and I will be the carriers. Okay. We have 885. I think we're ready, although I don't see the sponsors. Let me open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 885. Day is here to explain what it would do.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The Lane County is seeking the seeking an authority to use first $500,000 of fair timber payment that is part of formula revenue for the county's CTE, career and technical education. To make it happen, the bill specifies that this $500,000 not be counted as local revenue, so consequently not a part of formula revenue. At this point, we don't have reauthorization for 16-17 and 17-18. If there is reauthorization, then local revenue that is part of formula revenue will decline by a maximum of $500,000 each year for a couple of years, and that will reduce rather minimally, though, the formula revenue per ADMW for a couple of years relative to status quo.
Senator Boquist.
Just for clarification, if you would please, the Secure Rural Schools program.
Yes.
What we're really talking about is in the present Medicaid program, I don't know if the president signed it now, but the Medicare program that was just passed out of both chambers in the last week or so, that has some money for the Secure Rural Program, and that is the funds, whatever the allocation of those funds are, that would come to Lane County. It's out of those funds they're asking to take the $500,000, right?
Yes, sir.
And has the president signed that bill yet?
Yes, has just been reauthorized.
Just been reauthorized, okay.
Only for 14-15 and 15-16.
Yeah.
Follow-up question, Mr. Chair.
Senator Boquist.
I just want to put on the record, because Lane County is not here to ask the question, but it does. I mean, one of the issues that we've had in the rural counties, and as I think as you know, Mr. Chair, we have both the issue of there are funds that are out of those that are for local. Traditionally, the funds like that have gone, this and our timber payment funds have gone to transportation, public safety, and education. I don't know what Lane County's exact situation. I do know their public safety is in trouble. But then the flip side is if you put money into public safety today and you don't put money into career technical and create jobs in the future, you don't have money in the future either. So I don't really know the rationale for Lane County's request, and they obviously are not here. But
I can speak a little bit to
maybe Senator Edwards can speak. I'm fine with the proposal. I just think we're unfortunately trading bad trades that have to be traded anyway.
Well, yeah, that's right, because this comes out of the school formula, so this affects every school right in the state.
Yeah, and that's, Mr. Chair, that's the there are two aspects of this bill that I think we need to be considering. One is the control of those funds and whether or not, and if I understand this correctly, I've only had one conversation with Lane County's government affairs person. And the way I understand it is that this bill would give the county control of those funds rather than school districts. So rather than, so for career technical education development opportunities, the idea being that the Lane Workforce Partnership is and that's why we want to try it on a pilot basis to see if they have better success at developing career technical education opportunities with the schools rather than, because they know what the employer needs are in Lane County, rather than going to the schools and saying, here's some money for you guys, go develop some career technical education, and them not being perhaps the folks that are best suited to develop those programs with area employers and to meet area employer needs. So that's one of the policy considerations. I have told Lane County myself, I have concern about the funding aspect and how this would affect the formula and the equalization, and I think that they need to deal with that in this bill before it's ready to go. So we've kind of got, the way I see it, two aspects to consider. Pilot project policy, you know, is Lane Workforce Partnership, which is part of the county, a better place to administer those funds? And then secondly, the equalization aspects and how that affects everybody else's. And I would be in the camp of not of changing it so that the rest of districts in Oregon aren't essentially, you know, in some aspect, you know, through equalization, subsidizing a program in one county.
Well, I appreciate that. Lane County asked us to take this bill up and take a look at it and hear it, and so it's disappointing that they're not here. So we're not going to move any further on it. And
I have no questions.
So I'm going to close that public hearing. Thank you, Dave. On Senate Bill 885.
I don't mind being railroaded. That's okay.
And we have nothing else. Tomorrow is tax credit day. We'll see you down here bright and early at 8:30.
I can see how.
We are adjourned.
So I appreciate it.
Two ideas. I see that.
We are adjourned.
So I appreciate it.